happy to reverse points 1 and 2. The agenda is indeed the first one. The second one is more administrative than the first. Hello, who's just joined us? Hello, did someone just join us? Maybe not. I thought I heard a bell.
So did I.
I think that might be the MP3 engineer. If he hasn't announced himself.
All right. He's coming on to record this historic event.
Yes.
Did you get an RSVP from Grant?
Grant, yes.
He answered on the
automated
system, did he? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I've got Ellen and Bruce's definite no's, but that's all so far, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Phil, just a point that Grant and I think, given that you're chairing this, probably need to go back to the constituency for, even though we have principles, I really believe the constituency probably needs to, you know, have a further discussion.
Uh-huh. Hello, who's just joined us?
Carrie.
Hello, Carrie. You're very welcome. It's just myself, Philip, Glenn, and Marilyn at the moment.
Okay, I think there's some asynchronicity with the clock on the conference call and the real world, because at 3 p.m. on the dot, the access code wasn't working.
Oh, really? I've been in the call even a couple of minutes early.
Okay, in that case, it's erratic.
So, yep. Yes, when I joined, they said there were 5 minutes to go still, but that was not the case.
Okay.
So I think the clock is a bit out.
Yeah.
Carrie, maybe it depends on what part of the country you're in or what part of the world you're in.
Well, it's snowing here. Do you think that makes a difference?
Time definitely slows down when it snows. Well known.
Well, traffic slows down, so maybe... Never mind. I am pulling into the garage, so it'll be about 5 minutes. I'll be back on.
Okay. Carrie, has there been discussion on within your constituency yet on this issue?
Yeah. But the issue was more one of what exactly is the issue rather than any substantive response to detailed questions that are going to be a part of the discussion.
Yeah.
We have a little subgroup which consists of those of the constituency members who are particularly interested in the question. But I think that discussion is going to be seeded by the results of today's meeting.
Yeah, all right. Good. Hello there, who's just joined us? Oh, was that a going? Maybe a going noise.
Now, that's actually kind of a subtle tool in the hands of the chair of these things. You can boot people out and wonder what on earth is going on here. And then early end the meeting. Or perhaps you haven't discovered that functionality yet.
I was looking at this list, actually, you mentioned that. There are all sorts of things I can do. That sounds
great. Sure.
Laurence de Lacquian.
Laurence, you're very welcome. Philippe. We so far have Carrie and Glenn on the call. Marilyn was with us a moment ago. She's now parking her car and will be joining us shortly after that.
Hello.
Hello, Laurence.
Hello, Glenn.
Hi, Laurence. Carrie
here. How is the weather in the south of France?
It's lovely. It's shining, sun shining, and quite warm.
It's awful. It's like
this is rather depressing when we get Glenn on, isn't it, in this climate.
With a bright sunshine.
Exactly. I don't mind if Bruce has got bright sunshine because it's normally midnight there, so compensated for it. Go on. So has there been discussion in the IPC yet on this issue?
Hi. It's Ken Scott.
Ken, you're very welcome.
Philip, a minor problem.
Yeah.
The phone number that I received on my invitation was a Los Angeles, California number that started with area code 323. The access code that was given to us does not work on that access number, but it works on the number that I was fortunate enough to get from Carrie that starts with area code 702.
Exactly, 702 is correct. I wonder if the other number is the next Names Council call, because
I'm concerned because if I'm the only person who did it, then maybe that's the case here. It may very well be, by the way.
Sorry, what was your code number?
Code number was correct, but the dial-in number was not. I might have pasted out of another invitation. It doesn't really matter, but I'll just...
I know, the next Names Council call is a 267 number, that wasn't it?
That's
right. I'll do a little repeat to email.
Well, you might ask Gwen to do some research afterwards, because I couldn't have dreamed this number up. Start time, end time, access code, please select await RSVP. So, and all I do is cut and paste it into Outlook, so it doesn't matter. But if you have other people who don't show up for the call, there may possibly be the reason.
Because I sent up the code number individually. I think it was on Monday. Hi, this is Ellen Shankman joining.
Ellen, you're very welcome.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Ellen. I take it from the silence we're waiting for more people to join.
We are indeed, yeah. Ken just said there could be a problem with some of the information on phone numbers. I'm just doing a little repeat so people are familiar with that. Excellent. Ellen, I thought you weren't going to join us. I'm delighted you can.
You know, Glenn, are you with us?
Yes.
I have a suggestion, an operational suggestion. It would make life a lot easier for people down the road. It's possible to set up internet message, IM or ICQ, in what's called a group or conference type of arrangement. If all the members of the Names Council had ICQ numbers, it would make it much easier if we ran into any issues, like, say, for instance, if we're trying to get a vote out and somebody puts us on hold to take another call or talk to somebody. If, in this case, I was able to get the correct phone number immediately because I can ICQ back and forth with some of the council members, like Carrie. So it was something we ought to consider, just so that when we're in conference, if necessary, we can get through. Just a thought.
Can you send me the details on that, please?
Yeah.
Thanks very much, and then I'll do it.
Well, you need to talk to a techie to find out if it makes sense for us, but
it makes sense. I'm not confessing techiness here, but it makes sense.
I'm rejoining the call. It's Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn. And somebody else joined us also?
Yeah, good morning. It's Jordan.
Jordan, good morning.
Now, I came back in where Carrie was saying we need to talk to a techie, and Jordan joined immediately. Sorry, Jordan, I just thought that was just, so coincidental.
Yeah, the hairs on the back of my neck were tingling, I think.
That's because you're waiting to get ambushed after the report comes out on deletes or something like this. I don't know.
That's probably it. I just sent it out to a vote of the task force, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, so we're still waiting for somebody from the non-commercials, I think. Is that right? All of whom said they should be joining.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to be, we don't have to be a full household quorum, but I think it may be worthwhile waiting just a few more minutes.
I didn't think we're voting on anything.
Good, exactly, yeah.
This is not a point of order. This is not a council meeting, right? This is a meeting of...
Correct, exactly.
We
can be as small as we choose to be. But just for the purposes of representativeness, it would be good to have at least one rep of the non-coms, all of whom had actually confirmed they would be on the call. Otherwise, we're just... Well, and the ISPs are missing as well, aren't we?
Philip, this is Ellen. At the risk of, you know, using this quiet time to actually fill it with something else, could you mind going over a little bit what you anticipate our covering today?
Today, yes. I want to make sure that the time scale that I mapped out is seen to be sort of workable and okay for people. Then just to get an update as to the progress that each constituency is making in terms of agreeing a constituency position, and looking at the deadline that I proposed there of March 1st. And the third thing then is just to have a broad discussion on the big question in front of us. You know, should there be new names at all? If so, should there be some sort of structure? If there should be some sort of structure, what are the options for that? And just some of the big broad questions that we can then flesh out on future calls and when we also see constituency positions coming down on the detail. So that was a thought there. And has somebody joined us while I was talking?
Oh, that's just me moving from phone to phone. I have more phone activity than anybody else in this chat. I apologize.
Madam, welcome for the third time.
For the third time. Glenn is used to me. My Glenn, I'm on my mobile, I'm on my landline, I'm in my car. I'm going to have something transplanted into the palm of my hand.
Okay, it's coming up to 10 past. So I think we should perhaps crack on with at least some discussions, and then we'll bring anybody up to speed as they join. So the first item I suggest we talk about is actually item 2 on the agenda, agreement to working schedule of the committee. I put out an 8-point schedule, for which we've already reached the second point, which is very good going. And basically what I had tried to do is insert 3 telephone conferences, including this one, I think on 4 telephone conferences, including this one, in between the normal scheduling of council meetings. So basically there's a 2-week gap between each of these calls and the council meetings. Where necessary, then we can do a short report back to the main council meetings after that. The idea was to have a progress report only by Rio, and looking at around May time for a final report. Comments on that?
A question. In the board decision, which I assume is the mandate for the present committee, there was a reference made to such time as that our recommendation is to be produced by such time as shall be mutually agreed by the president and the chair of the GNSO council.
Yes.
Has anything been said closer about that? I mean, have Bruce and Stuart said anything?
Yeah. Well, Bruce was happy with it, and Stuart also came back and said that is, quote, this timeline will be perfect. I do understand the constraints.
In other words, it means that it's not going to be his headache. Implementation will happen.
Exactly.
Here
we come by
Philip, if I might just add a comment that I think is really relevant for all of us. IDNs are expected to be a significant focus in Rio.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you probably already know that. I know that because I'm having difficulty getting additional time for who is. So I was sort of cautioned about not necessarily having real high expectations about getting a lot of additional time for anything until adequate time was sort of focused on dealing with IBM. So I think...
So the idea of just a progress report sounds about right.
My sense of that is the same as Marilyn. Stuart indicated that the one thing he wanted to put to bed before he rode off in the sunset was to try to get the IDN issue stabilized and on track. So I'm thinking that that's going to be the principal. I was just trying to get a timeline, too, as to what, if anybody discussed the next step, if they're going to be issuing RFPs when they had tentatively looked at doing that. And it would seem to me that logically that's going to be early to middle summer at earliest at this point in time.
Yeah, I would think so, given that there's going to be a huge amount of transition work.
Okay, so do I take it that we are happy with that proposed schedule in front of us?
It might be a good idea, Philip, to resend that out if you have a chance.
Certainly, yep, I certainly could do so after this call with a summary. So let's move then back to point one, which is just to see how each constituency is doing in its discussions to come to some constituency view on this issue, and in particular the feasibility of those discussions being complete by 1st of March, so that constituencies will then have at least a position or a view to make to this group. So Ken, why don't I start with you for the Greater Straws?
Well, I got to be honest with you, and I'm sure Marilyn can attest to this, the registrars are totally preoccupied right now with two issues. We're coming to fruition on the transfers and the who is. Not only are we dealing with the implementation, but the accuracy and bulk who is as well. So we have been, to say the least, somewhat distracted. The registrars are meeting in Washington, D.C. around an FTC conference that I believe Marilyn's on the panel. And my feeling is we'll be able to get a much better sense at the meeting there. Actually, it's a joint meeting with registries as well. So I'm thinking that we should be able to have a much better position available, but it's not going to be any earlier than March 1st, I'll promise you that.
Sure.
Anything you get prior to that will be three people's opinion rather than a consensus opinion amongst the registrars.
Hi, Grant here.
Okay, Grant, you're very welcome.
Hi, Sam.
We just covered item two, and we moved back to item one of the agenda, and we approved the general schedule for these calls, and we're just discussing the constituency positions, how far they've got in their dialogue, and how feasible it is of having a consensus view from each constituency by 1st of March. We just heard from Ken saying they're being preoccupied with other issues at the moment, and 1st of March is just possible, but not much time before that. So let's move on to another constituency and the IPs, and Laurence or Ellen, what's your status?
Ellen, correct me if I'm wrong. We have discussed this issue already. I would say it's feasible for us to reach a position by the 1st of March. We are quite, regarding the new, GTLDs, I think that we wouldn't, well, formally speaking, I mean, in the procedure, we wouldn't have any difficulties, I think, to achieve a position.
Mm. I agree.
Ellen, correct me if I'm wrong.
Our answer's on target, I think, with what we...
Very good,
what
thanks. And Carrie?
There was some question about the scope of the discussion that we're supposed to be conducting. The specific action that was requested by the board in its decision is something that our constituency feels easily enough able to respond to by the 1st of March. However, the agenda that's currently been placed before the committee is far broader than that, and we don't fully understand what happened in the interim there. So, if in fact this discussion is going to take contours far beyond those that we had anticipated on the basis of the board decision, then I'm not certain about the 1st of March.
Carrie, I have a question about that. I read the board decision, and I did talk with Stuart and with members of the board, about this issue. I'm unclear on what your concerns are, because I thought the scope of this work and the terms of reference were totally consistent. So
one of the things, for example, on the agenda is discussing whether or not there should even be a call for proposals. But looking at the wording of the board decision, that presupposes that there is going to be a call for proposals and that it is going to focus on a limited number of sponsored GTLDs. And the question put to the council was whether we should structure the evolution of the generic top-level namespace, and if so, how to do so. But again, the agenda that the committee now has is far broader than that. And if there is any interim discussion, it would be extremely useful to have that documented so that the constituency could discuss its own ability to respond on a revised timetable.
No, I mean, Karen, I agree the presumption of the board decision was that there should be new names. I was just putting that down as a opening question to see if anybody had a different view, which would be interesting to know.
Well, it's reasonable enough for us to question what was requested of us, but it's by no means a trivial gesture.
All right. But on the second point, are you saying that your interpretation of the board resolution was basically they're already predetermining that all names should be sponsored, that all future names should be sponsored, restricted, and they're merely asking us about the nature of such a structure?
I have the board decision in front of me, and I'm hard put to interpret it in any different manner. However, I have no idea what subsequent discussions may have taken place beyond what I've been party to personally, which is nothing.
Let me back up just a minute and clarify something. My conversations with Stuart took place around his papers, which were the basis of what the board then acted on. That was what I was referring to, Carrie, in terms, and those were pretty open discussions, including some conversation with me at the mic about the proposals that he was making. So there wasn't anything secret about that by any means.
I'm not suggesting anything covert.
No, I know.
Suggesting is what? How exactly should someone who's only got a half an eye on this process understand the scope of the discussion?
I think that's really fair to ask to go back to, you know, there's the paper, and then there is what the board actually asked us to do.
Yeah. But is it not what the board has asked us to do that constitutes our formal mandate here? And if we want to in any way question or expand the scope of that mandate, that needs to be written into the record of, for example, this meeting.
Well, could I ask Philip, looking at what the board asked us to do, other than the question which says, should there be new ones ever, and if you struck the, I believe, I don't have it in front of me, I will look for it in just a minute, but I reviewed it not too long ago, but Carrie, you have it. The request from the board. Could you just read the request from the board?
Resolved 02.151, that the board requests the GNSO to provide a recommendation by such time as shall be mutually agreed by the president and the chair of the GNSO Names Council on whether to structure the evolution of the generic top-level namespace, and if so, how to do so. Resolved 02.152, that the board directs the president to develop a draft request for proposals for the board's consideration in as timely a manner as is consistent with ICANN staffing and workload for the purpose of soliciting proposals for a limited number of new sponsored GTLDs. And in fact, the council has no role in that latter resolution.
Right.
So the only thing that we have been asked to do is to provide a recommendation on whether to structure the evolution of the generic top-level namespace, and if so, how to do so. And I will freely admit that the notion of structure has broader administrative implications beyond its terminological component.
This is Ellen. I need to ask a fundamental question here, obviously, because I thought what was on the table was, do we have any problem with the idea that there may be new top-level domains that are going to be charters? In which case, that's, Laurence, correct me, if that's what I understood that the IPC was discussing, in which case, bottom line, as long as they're sponsored and have, you know, various filters, it does, you know, they're not problems for us. But if you're asked, if instead what I understand now is on the table is, how is it going to be structured if they are, or is there even any open discussion that some of them may not be chartered? Is something else on the table? Because if so, that's not what we've been discussing.
Can you put me in the queue, please?
Yeah, and then Jordan as well.
Ken, go ahead and then Jordan. It's fine.
Yeah. First of all, there's one word that keeps getting tossed around that needs to be clarified, and that is future. And secondly, my understanding of our mandate is consistent with what Carrie has. I think what we're really looking at is beyond this next RFP that they've already asked Stuart to work with the ICANN staff on, and the mandate for the RFP, I think, is consistent with either Ellen or Lawrence's comments just now. I think what we're looking at is beyond this RFP that the board has instructed Stuart to work on, what kind of guidelines do we have for expansion beyond this point in time? And I think that's what they're coming to us asking us for, and please correct me if I'm wrong or somebody slap me on the head. I think, first of all, they want to know, should there be some sort of structure to the growth? And if so, what kind of guidelines should be used in structuring the growth? And, you know, every constituency has its own ideas on that. If I look at it from IP's perspective, there are certain guidelines with respect to protection of intellectual property and processes from registrars and registries. We're looking at it from a technical standpoint and from an administrative standpoint, so forth. So I think that's what they're asking us to do, and I think that's what the mandate of the committee is. If I'm wrong, then please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, this is Ellen, but I understand this still is all being tied to sponsored limited ones. We're not talking about anything beyond that, right? I mean, is that already a given axiom, or is that already a question mark there, too?
I think there's a question mark there, too, Ellen. I think the presumption is in the board's instructions to Stuart that the next step, the RFP that will be going out next, will be for TLDs with the parameters that you've talked about. But I think what the board is looking for beyond that is guidance on future growth. And if I'm wrong,
which might be more open than sponsored.
Well, not it may include something other than sponsored TLDs, hypothetically. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just
Ken, I don't have that interpretation, so I think that is worth our making sure that we're
mm-hmm. Well, boy, we better find out about that, because if there's already a presumption that all growth in the TLD space will be strictly chartered and restricted, then we owe it to the community to make the community totally aware of exactly what the board's intent is. And frankly, I don't think we'll get any board member to admit that, especially Vince Cerf.
Because I can certainly tell you that my impression that the IPC has just been discussing it on the basis of the assumption that we're only talking about sponsored ones.
Yes, I can.
Okay, Jordan, sorry, you were also in the queue.
Yeah, thank you. I think that, my reading of the resolution is very similar to Ken's, and I think also, based on Louis's comments at our last Names Council meeting, actually, I think echoed that, basically that the next few, three, perhaps, sponsored TLDs are a given, and those aren't even within the scope of our discussions, I don't think, because they're going to be happening sort of on a parallel track. And then beyond that, we are discussing what should the namespace look like beyond that and the structure of it in the future. And I think, my reading of the resolution, there's no supposition that we are limited to exploring what the structure of the sponsored GTLD namespace should look like. We could, I would say, in fact, if we want to look at the structure of the namespace overall, that it would be imperative that we do look at unsponsored space as well. I don't think there's a mandate within the resolution to explore the question of whether or not it's good to have one type or the other, but rather how we would structure whether there should be space, and perhaps we can answer questions like, we suggest that there should be structure, and if so, then it should be intuitively obvious by looking at a TLD string whether or not it's sponsored or not. Something like that is something I think certainly a valid question for us to explore. But I don't think we've been asked to opine on whether or not they should be sponsored or unsponsored, or what the specific specific characteristics of future names should look like, but rather what, if there are names in the future, what basically the namespace should look like, whether there should be any structure to it at all, or whether we should have specific guidelines about how it should look.
So, and my feeling is that we're going to go much further with this, and we're all trying to pull stuff out of the air, and then we ask Louis to,
to
clarify this in a note to the committee, making it perfectly clear as to what the board is exactly looking for.
And I would agree, because I can tell you, Philip, my feeling is, you know, when Laurent said that we could meet the March 1st deadline on your first thing, if what we were talking about is our position on sponsored space, that one's fairly easy for us, and we can meet that. But if we're reopening a whole dialogue again, we should know that, and then I can't necessarily commit us to March 1st.
Oh, it's impossible.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I will undertake to seek that clarification. I'm also just reviewing the wording of this resolution, and it is not completely clear. So I will undertake to do that.
I'd hate to head off in a direction that is unintentionally opposite to what we're really being asked to do. That's another thing.
Okay. I
think it's quite clear what's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
In terms of that RFP, what I'm not sure about is whether or not they're looking for directions for the next 3 or 4 years. And if that's the case, then I have to agree totally with Laurence, and that is that there are implications at all levels. That's the point I was trying to make. There's technical, intellectual property. Every perspective has to be looked at there.
Philip, there's another question that I think we should keep in mind, and that I believe is important, and that is another activity that we should keep in mind. The evaluation of new GTLDs, task force recommended an evaluation, and that is supposed to be being launched, right?
It's in progress. And the resolution takes that on board.
And so I just think that we should remember in our timeline that there will be, the board expects to take the output of that recommendation into account as well.
Marilyn, it's not clear to me how that parallel process is working, because our position has always been that we wanted to see the results of that before a launch of any new domain name space. But it seemed that based on this other statement, that the board was ready to launch at least a few sponsored ones without waiting for those results.
I was on the president's task force, so let me make a quick comment about that. The task force recommendation was that the evaluation had to extend to all of the new GTLDs, including the sponsored ones. Apparently, there was some view by some that there was no need to evaluate the sponsored ones. Sort of, if they failed, well, you know, after all, it's a sponsored. The feeling of the task force broadly was that the namespace is critical, and that it isn't just the provider of the TLD who is affected. In fact, it is largely users who are affected if a new registry fails, because they built businesses on it or organizations on it. So we did recommend the evaluation include all of them, but we also recommended that they could proceed on two tracks. And that led to a recommendation by the board, and we could all go back and probably look at the transcript, because I think that was one of the meetings that was transcribed, and led by a discussion and then a recommendation by the board that a very limited number, and the BC, in fact, had agreed up to but not to exceed 3 of sponsored TLDs could be launched before the conclusion of the evaluation, which is expected to take more than a year.
I understand, but I think what's getting lost some here, but it may be already a done deal, so I'm just take it the comment for what it's worth. Part of what I understood the evaluation to be was to look at it as proof of concept, and if you don't evaluate these sponsored ones, then you have no way of judging the proof of concept.
Is anyone
I think let me just give some clarification. I think I just read and reread this resolution. I think it is indeed the case. What the board has done is two things effectively. It's it's accepted and wants to implement the evaluation process report. So that is going ahead now. It has noted what was in the action plan that Stuart Lynn put together and is suggesting implementation of two parts of that, one of which is to ask the GNSO for advice on certain questions, and they're later defined as certain questions in terms of the structure. And the second thing is to take steps towards an approval of a limited number of new sponsored UTLDs. So those things the board is intending to do indeed in parallel, suggesting that indeed that limited number might happen before the evaluation is done. The presumption would be the evaluation, however, will be complete by the time anything additional is done. That will be my interpretation of that resolution.
Did I hear somebody in the background there?
I think we might have a slight echo on the line.
I thought I heard Kerry. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah. Did somebody just join us? Perhaps somebody dropped back on the line.
I just think it's a good idea to get a clarification from and also, more importantly, I think we need to get... We're talking about some pretty broad concepts, and I can understand Lawrence's and Ellen's concerns, and frankly, I think if I was in their position, I'd say I think it's going to be... It would be quite difficult to get... You know, like, for instance, I know INTA meets in either April or May in Amsterdam, and it's much easier at something like that to get a much broader consensus amongst their community as to how comfortable they are with certain issues on expansion in the namespace. But the same with the registrars and the registrars have... we need a clear set of mandates is exactly what they want. If you want philosophical papers on expansion, that's one thing. If you want definitive consensus positions on some sort of a track to take in terms of developing a plan for dealing with expansion in the future, then that's going to take certainly beyond the March 1st thing.
Indeed.
Jump in again for one quick second.
Jordan, I
think that it's certainly possible that that's what the board wanted. I don't think, my reading of the resolution differs from that. I view this as quite a narrow mandate, basically, to decide, the question that Stuart raised in his paper of whether there should be structured and unstructured namespace, and if it's structured, what sort of structure should be imposed on it, not whether or not, it's a good idea to expand it, not whether or not there should be sponsored or unsponsored space. All of these questions, I think, are not, strictly speaking, within the question that we've imposed by the board. It could be I'm wrong. I think that's worthy of clarification, but I think, it's quite a narrow question we're being asked.
But, Jordan, then, this is Ellen. If you're talking about something as narrow as what you've described, how do you understand what structuring means? So that you, whether or not a string of domain, somebody's string will look like that... arrow.space.com.something. I don't know. What is it that you understand the structure to mean then?
It could be something as simple as, do we predefine certain, certain lengths of strings imply a certain meaning. For example, unsponsored are always, three letters long or something like that. That's probably not going to work out because info is already four letters long. But Stuart actually raises some of the issues in his paper, I think. But
Joni Harris, Joni?
Yeah,
you're very welcome.
Essentially, is there, can you tell things about the namespace by looking at, should we predefine basically a list of sort of categories of names that ought to be, in existence and so on? I think are essentially the question that's being asked. And I think there may be implications in there. I think probably we have to deal with both sponsored and unsponsored space, but I think it's a separate question of whether or not the board ought to, in the short term at least, approve any more sponsored, unsponsored, or whatever. I think, that's a separate debate.
I think it is worth our clarifying this because I think that there are two different viewpoints on what the resolution means, and I stepped through the discussion by the board. I read both the papers, the earlier version, and commented on it, and then the later version. And so I think it's very important for us to have the questions answered of is there any
Is there any presupposition by the board that future GTLDs will be only sponsored? I'm sort of struggling with how I said that. Secondly, the question that I also understand us to be looking at is, should there be a structure to that space, or any, I'm referencing to the space, and if we believe there should be a structure, what should that structure be?
You know, I think you're right, Marilyn, and I think if you look at the current expansion, you see possibly why these questions are asked. Take, for example, the difference between biz and info. You know, one of them is clearly defined as an open TLD. The other one has many of the characteristics of an open TLD, and there may be some constituencies who have in their own minds questions about whether or not the guidelines that they thought they were establishing for that specific type of space are the practical application is consistent with their perceptions in the future. So, you know, one of the things I think we need to do when we start stepping into this area is we need to be a lot more clear in defining. That goes back to that glossary I've referred to before. You know, exactly what does structured mean? What does restricted mean? What does open mean?
Exactly, because if this is on, because if we're looking at what I understand Jordan's to be, which sounds to me like a more technical question than a policy question, I don't know as an IPC person whether I care whether or not its string has four letters or five letters or where it fits.
We're giving examples of structure. We can think of many other things that could be interpreted by that.
Right, and I guess I just want to understand better what that means. So I would encourage before we go into more discussions, because it may in fact be something that we can answer quite simply.
But Ellen, let me just make one point about this is a council. Normally there would be an expectation that the council would also ask for advice on the technical aspects from groups outside of the council, such as the Security and Stability Advisory Team or other advisory committee or groups like that. Although people within the council may bring technical expertise, you know, we are expected to consult externally on the technical aspects, this being more the policy aspect, I believe, that the board expects from the council, since that's our primary job.
Now, I understand, which is my question, which is if your definition of structure is a policy question, then that's appropriate for us to discuss. But if, however, when we get clarification on what's meant by the structure, it lends itself to more technical definitions than policy questions, we don't need to be wasting our time trying to talk about it in a way that it's not meant to be.
I think I can envisage a number of policy implications to structure that may well interest your constituency in particular.
Exactly.
I think it's valid.
When we look back at the original namespaces, I think it was actually highly structured. You know, we knew basically if it's two letters long, it's a country code. You can tell, and it's an ISO country code. There's specific policies about, you know, what's allowed into that namespace. And similarly, you know, at the GTLD level, with, you know, there were three letters long, and they had certain, you know, well-defined meanings. They were defined in advance, and there was not a lot of debate about, you know, whether or not they should allow additional types of names in. And now that we're getting to the point where we're allowing more names in, I think the question's been reopened. You know, should we take an approach that, you know, we can sort of derive meaning from certain types of names? And I think that has a lot of policy implications, actually, in terms of the approach that might be taken in terms of actually deploying new TLDs in the future.
Okay, Doug, let's move on just to item three and see if, notwithstanding this rather major question we have on scope, we can nevertheless just have some sort of grounding thoughts, probably as individuals rather than constituency views, on some of these wider questions, just to know that we have a certain basis for agreement. And the broadest question of all is, we believe there should be any new names ever, however we envisage them being the case. My feeling is that the majority of people I've spoken to do.
That's almost the point of order. I mean, who has asked us that question?
I'm just trying to get a basis for
Terry,
moving forward in terms of the paper that we have. I mean,
can I speak on that topic?
Yes, okay.
Terry, our constituency asked us that question, and as a member of the council, I think that, I'm not the person who put that question here, but our constituency did ask that question, and I had actually sort of come to a belief that the board had made the decision that there would be expansion of the namespace in the GTLD, that what we're talking about here is the GTLD space, and that the board had made the decision that there would be expansion of the namespace.
It's certainly presupposed by the question that's proposed this.
Yes, absolutely. But I just wanted to be clear that the group is discussing that, at least bought into that idea before moving further on.
But I think, Philippe, it's wrong. This question is fully related to the previous question we debated, on which we have a difference.
Well, no, I'm presuming the answer of each constituency would be yes, in the way that I envisage. And I'd be happy just to know that's the case. What I'm interested in hearing is somebody saying, no, I think there should be no names whatsoever, and I fundamentally disagree with everything the board is talking about at the moment. If that's the case, we'd be useful to know that at this point before we move on.
From the BC perspective, then, let me say this. If there were a move to introduce an unlimited number of new GTLDs with no structure and no safeguards, our answer would be, I believe, we haven't voted it recently, but certainly earlier we took the position that there had to be safeguards and there had to be limitations and there had to be a safe harbor to save a failing set of names so that people were not stranded. So I would say that there could be, if the board said 500 names tomorrow, I think we would be marching. I'm just joking, but that's in terms of my response.
Philip, this is Ellen.
Yeah.
The IPC has also always taken the position that we didn't see any reason that there would be any new namespaces, but we gave up on arguing that battle because we thought that train had already left the station. And so therefore we're saying, okay, we don't think there should be any new ones, but as long as you're going to have them, keep them sponsored, keep them protected, keep them with all of the safeguards that Marilyn just discussed.
The reason for asking that question is precisely to have the clarity that both Marilyn and you have now given. It's just useful to have this on record as our first grounding discussions. That's why I asked it, not thinking it was going to be a major...
I mean, if we were going to vote today, do you think there should be any new ones? The answer would still be no. But if that train's left the station and that question's not being asked, then, yeah, we have restrictions on which ones, if the axiom is that they're going to happen anyway.
Philip, it's Grant here. Can I get in the queue?
Yep. Grant, why don't you speak now?
I think the statement or the answer to that question as to whether or not we should be considering whether our constituency... If the question is... The two questions you put here I don't think are correct. And from what you're saying, I don't think you have posed these two questions for the purpose, as I understand it, to have the constituencies able to state their view as to the general, or their general view as to the expansion of the GTLD. And I think that's fine, but I think the fact is that the board have determined there will be expansion. I don't see that question being put to us or being debated anywhere. The question is, how will that expansion be implemented? And hence this question of structure. So if I'm correct in what you're saying, Philip, the reason you have posed the first two questions is so the constituencies can each articulate their, as it were, opening position with regards to the expansion.
Correct.
That can be stated and tabled, and then we can move to the particular questions put to the GNSO for consideration, being the question as to whether there should be structure, and if so, what.
That is exactly correct. That was my
question. Can I just suggest we amend your agenda? Because I do agree, the way it's put at the moment, it presupposes those questions are actually open for, have been opened by the board, and they have not, my understanding, been opened by the board. So might I suggest that your agenda, under discussion on broad principles, I think if you replace the first two bullet points with a statement by the constituencies as to the, or a general statement by the constituencies as to the expansion of GTLD, I think we could then move on to the third point. Well, actually, the second bullet point, just should there be structure, not if yes, but should there be structure.
I'm very happy to take that amendment to the agenda.
Does that clarify for people what...
Absolutely, yeah. And I think we've heard from the BC and the IPC in terms of their responses to that question, yes? Ellen, you're happy you've articulated your response to that, like the opening position on names, I think you said... my understanding is that yes, if done in a certain way, and no, if done in other ways, effectively.
Essentially, but as I said, as Grant said, I understand it to be that whether or not we think there should be expansion of the space is no longer on the table.
I think that's right. As I think where we're going forward, it's interesting just to know where the starting point
I think the only thing that I would like to express on behalf of, you know, where I think the IPC would be is, should that not be a given, then we would go back to the place that says we don't see a reason that they have to be expanded. But assuming that's a given, we don't want to waste, you know, political time or capital on arguing something that's
assuming sponsored restricted is a given, then...
Right.
Yeah,
assuming... These are sponsored and properly chartered.
Right. Okay. Ken, do you want to speak to... Or is that Jordan coming up?
Just to echo what Grant said, I think the very fact of opening this question, I think, potentially opens us up for a lot of debate. I think that's not really that useful, because in the end, the board's probably going to ignore what we say one way or the other. I think it would be a much better concentration of our energy to focus on the questions that they've asked. And the way I hear what the IPC is saying is they're not saying yes, if. They're saying no. But if you're going to ignore us anyways, then, you know, here's our advice. And I think, you know, opening up the question, you know, do we want to have this space available, I think, you know, we may then have debate, you know, as to whether it is yes or no. And I think actually that's not a very fruitful debate, just because the board has made their decision, and, you know, I don't think we're going to get a lot out unless there's, you know,
I asked the questions really just to get grounding statements from participants, not that we would reach a consensus opinion on them.
No, absolutely. I just don't want to see the IPC sort of get backed into the corner of having to say yes, if, when really what they're saying is no, but.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I think the IPC would just be happy to say that if what's before us is a statement that any expansion of the GTLD space will be with sponsored ones, then our comments and how that should be structured is going to be a very different discussion than if it's reopening the question of them being non-sponsored or whether there's going to be expansion at all. And I agree with you. There's no point in having fruitless discussion.
And Jordan, for the good streets, do you have a view on the same topic? Are you neutral about that?
I don't think we've come to a registry view on whether or not there should be expansion.
All right. Okay. And Ken, any comment on that?
No, I'm comfortable with what I've heard so far. I think we need to, I would echo George's comment.
Yeah. Okay, fine. And Tony Harris, any comment to make on behalf of the ISPs?
I think there, yes, we think there is room for expansion in the namespace, but we would prefer for it to be sponsored as a way of having some order and control in things.
Yeah. Okay, then let's move on and...
Philip, can I just add one other thing?
Yep.
Just listening to Ellen, I heard her say, or question or preface her constituency's contribution to the question of structure based upon the assumption that the any new GTLD would be sponsored. I don't assume that assumption. All right, and what I'm saying is I don't assume that assumption has been made. And therefore, I think, you know, if your constituency has that view, then I think the statement you've just made needs to be recorded. And the reason I say that is because in looking at Louis' response to me in the minutes when I was questioning the matter of time frames, all he notes is that question on structure being if yes, then what, is what this committee is looking at. All he notes is that is in the critical path for long-term possible new GTLDs. And so he's distinguishing there between the long-term expansion of GTLDs and what someone else has already noted is what I see as a foregiven, again, another determination of the board that there will be a limited number of sponsored GTLDs. So given that the board has already determined there will be a limited number of sponsored GTLDs, that goes off the table. This discussion which we're having all contributes to the rest, the long-term go-forward of GTLDs. And within that big question, I don't think there is a given that expansion will be either sponsored or not. I just don't think that question's been answered, and I don't think we're being asked to answer it. So I just think if that's, for your constituency, a pre-given, you just need to state that, which I think you've done.
Philip, I also have a point whenever I can speak. Tony Harris.
Tony, go ahead now.
I don't know if I'm getting out of order here with the bullet points, but I don't seem to see anything on the procedures of presenting proposals, and it seems like an abuse, considering what happened last time, that proponents should have to pay $50,000, which is non-refundable, and if he's told to walk, I mean, he loses that. I think people who are consortiums were awarded a GTOD should then forfeit the $50,000. That's a gate charge. But people who are rejected should be charged, let's say, a fifth of that, $10,000 or $15,000 or whatever, for the cost of the evaluation of the proposal, but not lose everything they've committed.
Can I get in the queue?
You can on that. I'm noting it as a slight sort of side issue, but carry on.
Well, I would like to leave this granularity of discussion actually to another time, when in fact we have a better understanding of what the actual costs are to undertake the evaluation. We can get a briefing on that from the ICANN staff. The evaluation of the New Utilities Task Force was briefed on the categories of costs. And I think it would be helpful and educational for the group, if they are going to get into that level of granularity, to have an informed discussion about the ranges of costs that are incurred, as well as the cost of litigation and other retaining the evaluation teams, et cetera.
I mean, to some extent, this question should be asked in the evaluation, which is now going ahead. That must be...
It has been asked in the evaluation.
Okay, so perhaps we can wait and see the review that comes up with. But I guess, I mean, the basic message that Tony seemed to be saying was that we understand the need for gate money, but it shouldn't be a means of making profit, and I think I guess most of us wouldn't have a problem with that.
Well, but if you're looking at, I'm sorry, I'd like to just respond. If you're looking at sponsored, obviously there will be cases where you're not looking at a huge business prospect for some of these GTODs. They will be limited in their scope and in their recovery of the investment, right?
So different rules may need to apply as we go forward to the past. Yeah, I think that,
exactly.
That makes sense. Yeah.
They're not. They won't be all. They won't all have the scope of a .com.
Yeah.
Okay, market of a .com.
Let's move on just to the sort of second major question here. Then, if we are presuming we're going to follow the board's suggestion, there will be new names. Do we believe that some sort of structuring of that is going to be useful? I think I've heard voices around saying yes. Does anyone on the call think there is no need to structure in any way? We can debate what we mean by structure in a moment. We can just think on that general precept. Are we all?
Carrie here. I really hate to say this, but we've actually been painted into a corner by this poorly considered discussion of whether or not to taxonomize the namespace. And when it became clear that word didn't really mean quite what anybody thought it meant, all of a sudden we started talking about structuring without clearly focusing on which aspect of structure we actually mean. So the question, do we want a structure or not? There's given structure in the DNS. It's a structured hierarchical distributed database system. So the question of whether there should be structure there is already answered. Yes, there is structure there. And the question is if we want to screw around with that in any technical, administrative, political, or whatever manner. So I don't think the word structure quite says enough for us to be able to answer meaningfully the simple question of whether we should deal with it or not. I really hate to say that.
Yeah, well, then I won't ask that question. It was going to get too philosophical.
This is Ellen, I have to agree with it, Carrie, because I guess that's where I went to the question of, are we talking about something that's more technical,
okay,
or Marilyn's point that it's somehow policy?
Let me ask a simpler question then of members of this group. Do you have any concepts that you would like to share with the group as to your view of structure of the DNS?
Philip, this is Ken Stubbs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if I'm beating the same horse to death, but you use terms, everybody's using terms that mean different things to different people. If we don't get more specific as to what we mean by structure, then you're just getting people waxing philosophically on a perception that they have as to what it means.
Well, the objective of asking the question was for people to start giving their definitions of structure so we can either agree or disagree on them.
Okay, if we're talking about structure of the naming space, then I think that basically what we have at this point in time is a series of three and possibly as many as four separate structures in the generic space. The most clear structure that you deal with day in and day out is the, I'll tell you what, I'm going to just take a step back and be quiet because I'm heading off in a direction that I don't think everybody wants to go. So.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Is there anybody else who would like to share a view as to how they think structure or the evolution of the generic top-level namespace should be?
Doesn't this fold into a bullet point you have further down? Should I kind of establish criteria? This is just a question. It seems to.
Certainly there were there were opinions as to what structure should be that lead you on to. Saying, therefore, this needs to happen for that to be the case. Yes.
They seem to be connected.
Yeah.
I'll jump in. I think if we're talking about the sort of structure that Stuart describes in his paper, the sort of taxonomic structure where there's a list of predefined strings by that the ICANN community or the Names Council or some task force or someone sets up in advance, and basically the process of adding new GTLDs in the future is that people are allowed to put in applications to run one of those predefined lists. I don't personally see a lot of value in that. I think it's overly limiting. I think that there's a lot of creative people out there in the world. I think an ad hoc approach or a laissez-faire approach is Stewart puts it, by which people who are interested in operating a TLD come up with a name that best suits the community, especially if we're talking about sponsored TLDs. Why shouldn't a community that wants to have its own TLD be able to define what that spring ounce will look like? I think really the horse is already out of the barn. We've gone through a round of unstructured expansion, and even if we were to impose some structure at this point, there would be some grandfather's TLDs in that would be enough to confuse people and enough to, I think, at least in the short-term future, while there's not so many new TLDs, make it seem like there was no structure at all, even if we had imposed some.
Just two seconds. Jordan, in fact, you're making two points there, one of which you're saying that if the objective is taxonomic structure, you have a problem with the concept of creating a pre-list for that, which is something that certainly I think I would agree with. The second point you're making is that anyway, trying to create a taxonomic structure has difficulties because we have a bit of history which is going to fall outside of that.
Right. That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, Carrie.
Okay. One of the things that we might want to do instead of speaking about taxonomy is simply terminological principles. So I'm taking the case that Jordan described. We could easily say that if a named community puts in a proposal for a TLD for that community, then the name string should bear some degree of recognizability as a designator of that community. And this doesn't mean an English language thing, it doesn't mean a word, it can be an acronym, it can be a abbreviation, but say the hospital community wanted to have that hospital, or have a string, they couldn't have .xyz, because the person on the planet would associate .xyz with hospitals. And there's a principle. We're not saying what name they might want to have, what name a community might want to have, but if a community puts itself forward as the reasonable recipient of a TLD, then the name should have some clear semantic relationship to the name of the community, a name of the community. That's kind of taxonomy, but
right. Are you saying that as also the you're putting that forward in a slightly third party way? But is it
no?
You think it's a good idea?
I'm putting it forward as an academic here. And my day job involves devising terminological frameworks for making things visible. And a principle that in no way would encroach upon business freedom or intellectual freedom or creative freedom would be that the relationship between a community requesting a TLD and the name string may not be utterly random.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. I mean, if I understand you, you're basically saying that if somebody comes forth to hospitals, they shouldn't be given .music or something.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Yeah.
All right. Now, that makes excellent sense to me. The question is that not, I mean, what would be an example of something where that might be abused? Because it seems to me that the people who are coming forth are looking for those kinds of things that do reflect them. So are we concerned about things that might be something that might be deliberately misleading, like .kids will in fact being for a porno site?
Okay, but .kids is a good example, because one of the things that I've been ranting on about with .kids, although somewhat tongue-in-cheek, is that .kids has always been put forward as something to be used to protect children. But what about a .kids where the eligibility requirements are that no name holder may be older than 15 years old? A domain for kids rather than to protect kids. So there are the principles that we might articulate would be to avoid diametrically opposite proposals for the exact same string. Even if I'm not really sure we want to do that. I don't like the idea of control. I like the idea of encouraging creativity here. But again, if we've been asked to inject some element of structure into this, if we can do that without being arbitrary in the scope of our prescriptiveness, then why not? And I would think that some modicum of semantic value for every new STLD string is something that reasonably ought to be a part of the process.
I think that I agree with you. I guess my question is, why would somebody want it otherwise?
Well, then you're right. To be deceptive, I suppose. In the specific museum situation, in fact, the reason that the International Council of Museums started thinking about putting in for Dot Museum was because we figured if we didn't do it, the multimedia industry would do it. And although it could be argued from that perspective that why shouldn't they? Museological value can only be injected into the TLD if the museological establishment is responsible for its policy. So there might have been a competing Dot Museum proposal, say, from Microsoft, because they thought it was a nifty way to provide a platform from the sale of imagery derived, in fact, from museum holdings. So there's a whole bunch of things that might generate the exact same name string. But we're not going to decide which of them more rightly deserves to be in the running. All we're doing is saying that the hospital community, if it wants a domain name, should not have something that's devoid of meaning or something that means something entirely different and unrelated.
And but the propaganda community wouldn't qualify for that truth.
Dot Truth, boy. Now, why don't we do that? We propose the creation of the following domains. Dot Truth, dot.
Each of the commandments, if you like.
Well, it would have the advantage of us never being asked for this sort of stuff again. So there'd be less telephones.
Other comments? I quite like Carrie's suggestion. Are the comments in favor or with a different view on that?
So I think it's premature to say are we in favor. I think what we're trying to do now is put a list of ideas together and to be able to consider them as the whole. So I'm not objecting to them, but I think I need to see comments and ideas taken in context to each other.
I can't carry in with an entirely different question. I was functioning under the belief that this would be about an hour's call. Are we going to round off simply because we have enough time reserved and the other things and let enough be enough? Because I do have to address some other issues.
I was planning on giving about another 5 minutes. It's going to about 20 past on my watch.
Okay, well, I think I'm gonna have to scoot, I think. So we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody.
On this sort of open session, do we have other concepts like the one that Carrie was just mentioning that we think may be appropriate? I think it was interesting what we heard from Jordan earlier that the rejection of a pre-list, and part of Carrie's suggestion there was that indeed it should be the sponsor proposing what the name should be, and again, there should be some semantic connection to what that name is, which may be a way certainly of circumventing the problems with some sort of pre-list. Other thoughts?
I have two thoughts, and one thought I want to just lay out is that I feel very strongly that the name does not belong to the nominator of the name, that this is a franchise that is being granted. And I take that position because it is very possible that a name will fail, or that a registry will fail, and there will be hypothetically 1,500 or 15,000 registrations in it, entities that have built businesses, organizations, websites, etc. I spoke at the microphone about my concern that I don't feel that you can safeguard ahead of time against a failure, but I think that you can safeguard ahead of time to provide a method to rescue and hold the domain names that are granted so that they are not necessarily orphaned and you lose your business investment in having built a business on that site. So I'm looking for, as I said, not a predetermination that people have a rock-solid business plan that can withstand all functions and fluctuations of the market, but a safe harbor in the event that a registry fails and the name, because this could happen, you know, it just doesn't get taken.
Right, and that would be then the idea you would have the ability to transfer from one registry to another that same name, ICANN would do.
You have to prevent against the concept of ownership by the registry in the following way. When DSiNet went into bankruptcy, their root server and the decisions related to it should have resolved to ICANN. The company sold the assets as a part of the bankruptcy. That's not acceptable. And the name, the franchise, the contract between ICANN and the registry needs to enable ICANN. Let's say that they find out that the people who the contract was awarded to are fraudulent or are criminal or do not, you know, let's just say it's as simple as they don't comply with whatever the franchise is that they are granted, and the name has to be moved.
Right. So would that apply then? I mean, what you're saying is that there needs to be a clear separation of sponsor and registry.
No, there has to be a clear... That's not what I said at all, although that's an interesting concept, but that's not what I said. What I said was there has to be a clear separation between legal ownership and rights in the GTLD and the operator.
So that even the sponsor, who may choose a registry to do the back-end technical stuff, so even the sponsor would... if you like, be leasing the name from ICANN rather than owning it.
Think of it more as a franchise that we would think of here. And think of .org as an example. The name previously was being hosted and operated by one registry, and the franchise has been moved to another registry, had to meet certain criteria. That is a time-limited operation. And then it can be renewed. And I don't see any need to have an assumption. I mean, what I'm looking for is stability.
Yeah.
Good
okay.
point. Very good point.
Any comments on that? Was Tony saying yes?
Yeah, I think it's a very good point.
Yeah. Well, indeed. Okay, I think perhaps we'll leave it there. I heard a few bells while we were talking, which I guess means we're probably losing some people. I will seek those questions of clarification from ICANN, probably from Louis, and report back to the group on that and do a short write-up of where we are now following this call. And
well, there are a couple of good bullet points which are for the next call.
Mm-hmm.
The criteria and qualified registrars be free to operate. We're leaving that for the next call, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me just say more broadly, I think that whether or not we answer those questions probably depends on the answer that Philip gets to his question that he's going to pose to the board or Louis or whoever he's posing it to.
Sorry, Philip, what question are you taking back?
The question of is our work predetermined on the basis that future names will be sponsored restricted, which was a preference expressed in Stuart Lynn's action plan, or is the game more open than that?
Okay. I heard another question, which I think there is an answer to, and that question is, what is the meaning of structure? And I think the answer to that question been defined, which is in Stuart's paper, has it not?
Right. I think that's a very important question. Is it the meaning of structure as defined in Stuart's paper, or is it some other... I mean, structure, I think, could have all sorts of meanings. It's not clear in the resolution that it's necessarily Stuart's structure.
Well, I think it has to be Stuart's structure, only because this task force arises out of the resolution based upon Stuart's paper.
My reading is the same, is identical to that, but however, I don't think it's 100% clear from the resolution.
Okay.
But I think, you know, when you talk to Louis, you might ask him if he minds clipping and sending us the part of the transcript for this was discussed. That would also be helpful.
Okay.
or Philip, perhaps Glenn could do that for us, because I do think it's really kind of a waste of time to have 21 people from the council sorting through it. But maybe Glenn could get that, because it should be a typed narrative.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see what clarification we get first, and I'll also look at the Stuart's paper. But I'd much rather not have a series of four calls in which we're trying to think of definitions. I'd much rather have four calls with lots of ideas, I think, as a basic starting point. And we've already had some ideas on today's call, which have been useful. So thank you, everybody, and we'll talk again in about a month's time, and also on council in the meantime.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
The conference organizer has left the conference. The conference is now over.
Thank you.